Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
The whistleblower statute is being abused here. It does not give person anonymity when it comes to making a claim of wrongdoing. It protects them from being fired. The Constitution trumps the statute. No American, including Donald Trump, should be accused of something based on an anonymous source. So I want to know who the whistleblower is, what ties they have to the intel community, if any.
Lindsey Graham still talking about the whistleblower, and it's interesting to me to hear a lot of the pundits talk about how the whistleblower doesn't even matter anymore. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, hello.
Hi.
I wasn't expecting.
How do I say hi?
Katie, hi.
Hi.
What's going on over there?
Nothing. Making fun of Ryan.
How does human say hi?
What do I need to do to
when
say hi?
When unexpectedly tossed to on radio.
You have one job here, and that's
hi.
To talk to me.
That's
why
to say
was
hi.
It a surprise?
I don't know. Normally, you make a very logical and good point about the day.
Are you saying that didn't happen yet?
Yes.
Didn't mean it's satisfaction.
She was being inclusive.
Good to know. Very good to know. I have two people in here to talk to, and I said hello to one, and he panicked.
What?
I don't know why. I don't know how the rest of this 2 hours and 52 minutes is going to go, but it probably can only go up from here.
Nah, we'll see.
Nah. Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you
Let's
doing?
Start this over.
Should we?
Start the day over.
Anybody watch the rally last night?
Just clips.
I watched it this morning.
The whole
bits
thing?
Bits and pieces of it from this morning.
I watched the majority of it. I turned on the television last night. I got home late. It was like after 7 o'clock because I went to the range last night. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And we were kind of watching the Blues, I think, at the point when we turned it on. The Blues were in intermission or something. I don't know. So we turned on Fox, and it was supposed to be Hannity, but it was the rally. And I was like, okay, I'll watch this. So I watched the full hour that ended pretty much right into Laura Ingraham's show. And I guess he's just going to do this for the next year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, did Obama do this? No.
No, no, no. He didn't do rallies almost at all.
Bush do this?
Not like Trump.
I know that I'm 35 years old, so I have a limited amount of experience of like being fully mentally invested in these sorts of things. But it feels like this should be October of 2020 to see these rallies.
Yeah.
Where everybody's showing up and you've got the full press there, and we're just covering these over and over and over and over again, and tens of thousands of people continue to show up, and there's overflow crowds of people with massive screens outside. It is November 6th yesterday of 2019. And these masses of people are showing up.
If you're great at it, why would you not do it?
That's the how point. He, that and Twitter is basically how he gets around the media. That's how he does it. The other thing is that you're thinking of campaign speeches, and that every candidate has done that. The difference
to whom?
to their audience, their base usually. But Trump's been doing it since like right after he was elected, which nobody has done. And you're talking about it being early now, but he's been doing it for 4 years.
Yeah,
he never stopped.
If there's a special election, he does a Trump rally there. When we talk about the Kentucky Beshear election and the fact that it is as neck and neck as it is, that's because Donald Trump showed up there and made people who want to support the president show up to support a governor that they 53% unapproval rating. So will this, are we going to ramp up to November 2020? Are we going to get bored and tired of this? I mean, if we haven't gotten bored and tired of it now, if people aren't getting bored and tired of it now, I don't know why going into 2020's election it would get any.
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know if he'll stop doing it because he will continue to do more and more. But right now, remember, he's just doing it for certain candidates, and there won't be elections all throughout this next year. So right now,
but the election. These aren't even about
him. Right.
They're about people. Like, when I was watching it last night, he invited some people to come up, and one of them was, I don't know what his position was. And that's the point. Like, I was like, get off the stage. I don't care about you. But the point of this.
We want to see Duck Dynasty.
Yes, exactly. And the point of this rally was truly for Louisiana. Like, the guy who was on the stage talking had every reason to be up there, and the people know him. And then John Kennedy gets on the stage, and I was saying to my husband, I'm like, man, I hope John Kennedy gets up there. So he did, and he talked, and we'll play some from that later. But it was just like, I am watching this from somebody who can vote for Donald Trump a year from now. The rest of this is the whole purpose of all of this is for the Republicans to retain seats in Louisiana.
Do you have any opinions about that governor's race?
Or thoughts? No.
Yeah.
None.
I know very little about it.
From what I understand, a Democrat currently holds the governor's seat and they want to replace him with a Republican.
They could flip it.
Yeah. Which it looks like they're going to need to gain a Republican governor's seat from Kentucky, because it looks like they're going to lose that one.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that even though Kentucky's now going to have a Republican or a Democratic governor, that's not really going to affect anything nationally that much. Virginia will, though, because they now have complete control of both branches of the legislature and the governorship, so they're going to be able to gerrymander 2020 very heavily Democrat.
Are they doing maps already? For 2020, I know, like in the state of Illinois, there's a 2020 census that's going to take place that will that they could use to, you know, redraw the maps in an even more favorable way. I don't know if that could happen in 2020 already, but in the future.
Well, after 2020, because that's the next census, of course, that's when they can use the new data to draw new lines. So that will happen in Virginia, and Virginia will pretty much be a blue state from here through the next decade. Because they have full control over it, and they're going to solidify that. The offset to that could be, though, in Louisiana, if they win a Republican governorship from a Democrat and they have both controls of the House and Senate there, they could offset the gerrymander from Virginia.
I wonder how that process goes, too, because I know that in the state of Illinois, you have varying people who are at the table who are part of the process of redrawing maps. Certainly here in Missouri, part of it, Clean Missouri, wasn't that it? Was to take the way that process is approved and give it to...
Mm-hmm. It was to change the way that the lines can be drawn.
Yeah. And so it's very different state to state. So I'd be interested to know what the difference might be from, you know, a place like Virginia to Louisiana to Illinois. Certainly very different.
Yeah, Louisiana's got some of the strangest laws in the country because they come from a French background, and it's one of the only places where they allow, traditionally, now it's different now because we're so much more national than we used to be, but in the early days of Louisiana being a state, they could do things differently because they had such French influence and therefore French government ideas that they still, even to this day, have a little bit different system than everybody else, so... That's a good question.
Well, that's a good small exercise in the value of states' rights and why that's such an important thing and why minimizing the authority that you turn over to the federal government, because once you turn it over, you're likely not going to get it back.
Right.
That makes a difference because your locality, the more local the government, the more control that the average person has over it. I think that's a really good thing. So they were in Louisiana, and if you're familiar with Duck Dynasty, which I got on the Duck Dynasty bandwagon way late. Like, I don't know how many seasons they ended up actually having, like maybe 8.
Yeah, it's off now, right? It's not still on.
No, yeah, they don't do it anymore.
Now they have podcasts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
But they're an amazing family. I think that they are really what I would consider like traditional Americana as far as the way they put themselves out there. And did you get not Phil? What's the other son? Willie.
Willie.
Yeah.
I think I got Phil.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get Willie later because his response was the least political thing he could have possibly said. When he got done, I'm like, well, he's a good businessman. Here's Phil.
I got it down to this. If you're pro-God and pro-America and pro-gun and pro-duck hunting, that's all I want.
And then he walked away.
That was the whole speech?
That was it.
Deuces.
Yeah. he just looks at his hand, and he lists off all these things that he's pro. And then when he says that's all he wants, he kind of throws his hands up at his side, and he's looking down, and he just walks away.
Isn't it that simple?
Isn't it
that simple? We make everything so complicated. And he got up there, and he's like, these are the things I'm looking for. If he's doing it, I'm on board.
It's certainly that simple in places in Louisiana.
I don't know. What if I'm for three of those things, but I don't duck hunt?
Are you gonna?
Out of luck.
What?
I can't vote for the Republican governor.
Are you a PETA supporting Second Amendment gun clinger?
A PETA supporting Second Amendment gun clinger?
Yeah.
Are you?
I just say if you're not pro gun, if you're not pro duck hunting, how would that possibly conflict with?
How could you
be for all three other ones, but like be like, not necessarily like a duck hunter, but be against duck hunting?
What if I'm pro-God, pro-guns, pro-America, but I think that ducks are sort of some sort of sacred animal?
That's what I said.
And not PETA.
Same thing.
Same thing.
It's still in the same headspace for me.
Let me think about that a little further, because if I'm pro-God and I think that ducks are a sacred animal...
Which God?
Have to find out which God that
is. Which religion are we talking about here?
I do have Willie's statement if you'd like me to play
it. Yeah, play this. This is he went after Phil.
Well, I don't know what else to say after following Phil and the president and Eddie, but thank you guys so much. You have been such a great community to share life with, to worship with, and I'm so tickled to be here with the president that he actually came down to our community. And let's go, Eddie.
Yeah, let's go, Eddie. That's the guy who they were stumping for office. But I mean, like, he probably offended somebody there, but very few people. And he's not, the way you can take the stage and use that moment for whatever you want to put out there. Mm-hmm. You could say a lot of things with that. His was to be as clear and calm as possible. It's very funny. All right, well, I'm looking for something else here. Okay, let's do this first, and then I'll tell you about John Kennedy later.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
In addition to the names you know, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Pete Buttigieg, Andrew Yang, Tom Steyer, Amy Klobuchar, one more name you know has qualified for the next Democratic debate. Anybody care to guess who it is?
Oprah.
It is not Oprah, but that would be a name you would know.
Marianne? Or did you already say Marianne?
No, Marianne has not. No, it is Tulsi Gabbard.
Mm.
She has qualified for the November presidential debate, defying predictions that her performance last month in Westerville, Ohio, would mark the last time she would be on the national debate stage. The November 20th debate, which will be held in Georgia, is the fifth debate sanctioned by the Democratic National Committee. 10 candidates have now qualified.
So many people. So little time. Revamp interchanges and more lanes are coming for North County drivers who use 270. The Missouri Department of Transportation awarded a contract to Millstone Weber to begin a project in the spring of 2020 that will add a traffic lane in both directions on 270 between Lindbergh and 367, as well as reconstruct every interchange in that same stretch. The I-270 North project is the largest single project in a decade for MoDOT and should be complete by December of 2023. And has a $278 million price tag. MoDOT says this stretch of road is one of the heaviest used in the state, with 140,000 vehicles traveling that stretch of road every day. Now, IDOT is in the process of studying ways to replace the I-270 chain of rocks bridge over the Mississippi as well next decade.
Who are my Kohl's shoppers?
Everybody. Anybody. Everybody.
Everybody loves Kohl's.
Everybody doesn't not like Sara Lee.
Everybody is a Kohl's shopper, while nobody is like a Kohl's shopper.
Right. Yes, that's
I don't
right.
Kohl's sells Sara Lee.
I don't think so.
I don't go there often enough to know, but I'm interested to see what this story is.
Well, this is really cool because Kohl's is doubling its regular military discount in honor of Veterans Day.
Yeah.
The store is known for offering 15% military discount on Mondays. Now, Kohl's is sweetening the deal by giving active duty service members, veterans, and their immediate family members 30% off store items nationwide from today until the 11th.
Oh, so it's like not just Veterans Day.
Nope. Mm-mm. It's today until 11th. It's crazy. Customers must show a valid military ID, military dependent family ID, or veteran ID at the point of purchase to redeem this offer. Very cool.
They should advertise their regular discount more. I'd never heard of that.
Yeah.
Oh, the 15 nope. Before that? Yeah.
I'd never heard of that before. The Blues pick up their sixth straight win last night in Edmonton, beating the Oilers 5-2. Special teams led the way for the Blues with a pair of power play goals and two shorthanded goals late in regulation when Edmonton pulled their netminder. The Blues are off until Saturday night when they face the Flames in Calgary. Forward Alexander Steen left the game with an apparent left knee injury late in the second period. We should hear more about that today. Off the ice, the Blues dealt oft-injured forward Robbie Fabry to the Red Wings for forward Jacob De La Rose.
Ooh, interesting.
Interesting indeed.
Robbie Fabry.
Well, if it wasn't interesting, why would you report it?
Yes. Never mind.
Not really.
You can't bring really something like into a really report kinda, and have someone kindly say interesting and be like, no, that's not interesting.
It was more of a flow type thing. I needed another sentence to make flow.
To
make it
he work. Helped flow by saying interesting.
Thank
and then you,
you
insulted
hey, yeah,
him
really.
For complimenting your story that you thought was boring.
It sucked.
He gets it.
I do get it. If there's one thing that people confusing. Know that I'm good at, it's making the flow work.
Yes.
I don't.
You do.
I don't stall things out ever.
There's no halting conversations with you. It's never an awkward pause.
Yep.
Get it done.
All right. John Kennedy said something last night that made me laugh out loud quite a bit at the rally. When President Trump said, let's welcome our senators up, I was like, yes, this is what I paid for. I didn't pay anything. I was laying in bed. But it's hilarious. I'll have you have that clip for you in just a minute when we return. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi is trying to impeach him. I don't mean any disrespect, but it must suck to be that dumb.
Mad.
Yeah, John Kennedy there. He's the United States Senator.
Rand Paul one day and then John Kennedy the next? That's crazy.
What are these Republicans in the Senate going to do? After the House impeaches the president and it goes into the Senate and we get to hear, oh man, it's going to be the wildest thing you've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Kavanaugh trial, it wasn't even a trial. The Kavanaugh hearings were insane. And that's where we got Lindsey Graham Thug Life
mm-hmm.
was from the Kavanaugh hearings. That's where he developed a bit of swagger. So I don't know. These people are emboldened. They sure do seem to feel as though it's like they put their gloves on to fight.
Yes. Finally, this is one of the first times that I've seen Republicans really do the work and put the gloves on.
And not be afraid to say something like that. I mean, he says, I mean, no disrespect. It's pretty disrespectful to the Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
But when I've been hearing these sound bites when I'm listening to other radio or if I'm watching Fox or I'm watching CNN, and Nancy Pelosi pushed against impeaching because she told us her words that if we were going to go into this, it needed to have bipartisan support. Well, that was a lie. Absolutely not what happened. Not a single bipartisan measure going into furthering this impeachment inquiry. And the other thing that really chafes me about the way Nancy Pelosi is handling the situation, doesn't she's giving off this vibe of like, it really pains me to do this.
Yeah.
This is so hard for the country. And I'm like, no, this is like orgasmic for her. It's like, this is the thing. This is the peak of what.
Don't use that word and Nancy Pelosi together, please.
Well, it must suck to be that dumb, according to John Kennedy. I mean, it's crazy to me that these politicians, and I will say this goes on both sides of the aisle, but these politicians think that they're selling anybody who's in the middle, all five of them, whoever hasn't picked a side yet. You guys could fit around a Thanksgiving dinner table. I wonder what those five people would talk about.
It surprises me, based on this Kentucky election and this Louisiana election, that states like Kentucky that went so hard for Trump, like 30-plus points for Trump, could elect. Apparently, there are some people who believe enough in being in the middle that they will elect a Democratic governor.
There's 28,000 votes for the Libertarian candidate and a 53% disapproval. Unapproval. Probably the same thing. A disapproval rating for the sitting Republican governor.
Yeah, I'm not defending him. I'm just surprised that people haven't gone to their corners more on even governor races.
Well, I think what's important is that, I don't know that we know that we can say that they haven't. What I'm saying is there were people in mass who showed up to vote for a governor they didn't like because Trump asked them to. I don't think it's about Republican Democrat anymore. And I think you can absolutely be a Republican, Mitt Romney, and not be a Republican at all. And you can be a Democrat who is a socialist right now. I mean, there are wings to each party.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that the R means, you know, I'm looking just for R's and that's good enough. People want to know what that means for you. Rob Schneider. Did you see what he said?
I think I was the one that retweeted that.
I saw it from a couple of people, but I might have seen it from you. Rob Schneider said, I'll sum up, that voters in California would vote for a sack of crap if it had a D next to
a
its
bowl.
Name. A bowl.
It was
of crap.
A bowl and it wasn't crap.
Yeah. If it had a D next to its name.
When I saw that, I just thought that was such a funny phrasing that I had to retweet it.
Yeah. I mean, but...
Yeah.
Donald Trump... remaking the entire landscape. Republicans, there are Republicans who don't like it. There are obviously Democrats who don't like it, but there are Democrats out there. They're listening right now. We get calls regularly from Democrats who say, I've always voted for Democrat, and Donald Trump is the first Republican I've ever voted for. And they're not ready to call themselves Republicans. That still means something that they're not willing to appropriate onto themselves. But he's shaking up the game. And he's really done, you know, we did that whole like Venn diagram, the whole point being it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you say to us that you're on. It's like, are you for us or are you against us now? Are you more interested in the status quo of doing things where if you're in Washington, D.C., there's just an understanding of how stuff goes. And you little people in the middle of the country that we fly over when we go to our fancy beaches and vacation homes. You know, you'll just have to understand. They'll get it. They'll learn. And if they don't learn, we'll just keep telling them what they want to hear.
And look at the interview that you just had with Brandon Tatum this week. That is someone that he said he voted for Democrat up until he went to a Trump rally and saw that President Trump and heard that President Trump was talking about things that affected him, that mattered to him.
He said he went to the rally to rule Trump out.
Yes. And now loves Trump. Is an advocate for Trump, is an advocate for the Republican Party. And he even mentioned Trump is broadening the brush and including so many other people that are not stereotypical conservatives or Republicans into this umbrella. And it's changing the way we view politics. Mm-hmm. And that's true.
Yeah. And I think it's important. And I think that's also why he's kicked the hive so hard. Some of the stuff that we are going to learn if the inspector general ever releases his report. I remember being like, it's going to be out in September. You're hearing it's going to be out in October.
Going deeper, though.
They didn't say which year, September. Yeah. So maybe the prediction was still correct. But in my opinion, the more that gets delayed, the closer it gets to the election. There's a lot of implication in what has been said since Durham has turned that into a criminal probe. That's not going to be favorable to the country how will it politically benefit Republicans or Democrats? Let's wait and see what the details of the report are. But if we find out that there were people actively working against Donald Trump as a candidate for the president of the United States, that's a problem.
In the government.
Mm-hmm. Our own government.
Yeah, working against a candidate.
Think about this for a second. Compare, let's just live in this world. This is a pretend world, folks. We don't have the facts that say that this is what's happening, but we don't have the facts that say it's not what's happening either. So we're just going to have a thought experiment here. If President Obama and his CIA and his Justice Department allowed a dossier to be created to smear the candidate, Donald Trump, so that he wouldn't get elected, and set up a scenario that has George Papadopoulos meeting with this Mifsud character overseas so that the entirety of what needed to happen is that they needed to have justifiable cause to listen in to Trump campaign staffers to make sure that the president wasn't trying to collude with Russia. Well, you've got one staffer who was told by somebody that Russia has emails. He repeats that information because it's gossip the next day to a well-planted Australian ambassador. And the Australian ambassador goes, George Papadopoulos just told me that the Trump campaign knows that Russia has the emails. And that's what they need to get the wiretap on Trump staffers to spy on them. I mean, this is stuff that is being exposed right now. So if all of that happened, and we know from the Strzok and Page text messages back and forth that the Obama administration that at the top wanted to know everything that was going on. If we find out that there was any purposeful methodology or process to even trip Donald Trump on his way to trying to win the presidency with the American people. And we are spending all of this time right now trying to decide if the president tried, the president of the United States now, Donald Trump, if he tried to quid pro quo with President Zelensky in Ukraine, where he didn't actually withhold the funding that he said that he could withhold, and that the investigation that he asked for hasn't turned up what they were pursuing. So even if there was an attempted quid pro quo, there wasn't actually anything that amounted to it. We are trying so hard and spinning our wheels so fast right now to try to figure out a way to impeach the president of the United States while this is taking place in the background, looking into whether or not our own elected officials tried to stop a citizen of our country from becoming the president of the United States. If we don't get honest journalistic integrity behind what is going on with our government right now to either stop the conspiracies from spinning and say, no, this did not happen. And this is why we know this didn't happen. Instead of the drip, 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 drip of, well, now we know this and this doesn't look good. And now we know that and that doesn't look good. And now we see a tweet from what is his name? Zaid of the lawyer for the whistleblower in 2017 that says the coup has started. Donald Trump was like putting his pants on for the first time as president of the United States. And you've got people, lawyers, tweeting out that the coup starts now. You've got, was it the Washington Post says the impeachment process begins today or whatever? It's not a good look. It's so glaringly an awful look that it's boring to watch. There's nothing to even dig because it's in plain sight.
Yeah, that's true.
And sad.
Yeah, it is.
And the only thing that's missing out of this equation is honest integrity in journalism, because the journalists are supposed to be the people advocating for us, no matter what truth that they expose, as long as it is truth that is exposed, that's their job. But instead, we have an entertainment machine where we find out what the truth is, and then we work extra overtime to make sure that it goes out into the public in exactly the pretty box with the pretty bow that that entity wants it to go out. Or, ABC, it doesn't go out at all. And it's a shame. As somebody who holds a communications degree from a four-year university, I am so incredibly disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
In
you can
what,
say that again.
In what this entity of our free press, our First Amendment. The thing that makes our country great is the people, and the only thing that holds the government officials accountable is a free press that can challenge them at every turn, every corner. And they've abdicated their duties in doing that. 314-241-9797. Was that a coherent point?
It was several coherent points.
Hey, Ryan,
I didn't realize that the point of all of it, though, is you to brag about your degree.
Do you have a communication?
And we get to the end of it.
Oh, that was, I've been waiting
there you go.
18 months on this midday show to tell people that I have a communications degree.
Bam!
From Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. Go Cougars. Very
all
proud
of it.
St.
Louis just went, ooh.
Ooh. Where's your degree from, Ryan?
SIUC.
Oh.
Is that better or worse? I don't know.
Depends on the decade. A good degree. We'll be right back with some phone calls in just a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I don't know if you saw, I just got off of coming off the plane and they hand me, look at this character. Okay, they just hand me the story. Coup has started, whistleblower's attorney said in 2017. You know when that was? That was a long time ago. It's all a hoax. They say January 2017, a coup has started, and the impeachment will follow, ultimately. It's all a hoax. It's a scam. And you know who helps them? These people right back here, the media.
Boo. Yeah, I've been at the Granite City Trump rally when he was coming here right after they fired up the next furnace, I think it was, and he did the media thing. I was standing back with the media at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be one of them.
He pointed right at you, Annie.
He did. He knew.
You changed your ways.
He could see me.
At that time, you were like, I hate Trump and I hate Republicans.
It was like last year.
Yeah.
And no, not at all. 314-241-9797. Interested in where you think that this is all going to go and how much you're willing to invest in the day-to-day grind of following this. You know, the president, he says, here's something else he said last night.
How old is your son? How old is that young man there? How old are you? How old? Yeah. 8. Let me tell you, he's 8. He knows energy better than Joe Biden's son.
How old is that boy? Come here.
Is this real life? How old is he?
That's pretty funny.
How would you feel if you were that parent?
How would you like, feel if you were? I was thinking Hunter Biden.
Or Hunter Biden.
You know, I thought, like, why is the president calling out an 8-year-old? But then at the same time, I'm like, if you're bringing your 8-year-old to a rally.
You just got the thrill of a lifetime if you're that parent.
Probably, yeah. That's why you brought your 8-year-old to
right.
a rally.
The president pointed at my kid.
That's an interesting question, though. Would you bring your kids to a Trump rally? I would not.
I wouldn't either.
For a lot of different reasons. One of them because I don't know what the president's going to say. You know, it's and honestly, if the president spoke the way presidents usually speak, my kids would fall asleep. And I'm just saying that that's just because they're children and it's boring to them. But you never know where it's going to go. And it's such a fiery, tense thing in our country right now that you don't know what's going to happen. I wouldn't want to put my kids in that situation.
I wouldn't bring an 8-year-old to a rock concert, and I would not bring them to a Trump rally. I think they are both equally as loud and crazy.
He was saying last night, he's like, towards the end, he's like, man, it's hot in here. He goes, come to a rally, have some fun, lose 9 pounds. And he's like, flapping his suit coat.
Apparently, that was the headline that people picked up on, and they said, Trump gets sweaty at last night's rally. I'm like, that's the headline?
It is if you hate him.
Apparently.
Sweaty president.
314-241-9797. Mike, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah. Hi, Annie. I love your show. It's the greatest. Thanks
thank you.
For putting it on.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Lou Dobbs had Joe DeGeneva and Victoria Tunzing on last night. And he was reporting that the reason that the Inspector General's report was delayed was because Durham's grand jury, and that they posted on Facebook, and Joe said, I would say explosive, and I would say for people at the highest levels of the FBI and the highest levels of the Justice Department, more important at the Justice Department. It's going to be devastating. It's going to ruin careers. It's going to make people have bar problems. Mm. What's clear now is we know that that senior levels of the Obama Justice Department were complicit in knowingly submitting materially false application to the FISA court. So they were talking about maybe the end of November now or something because of the grand jury, I guess, not to influence, you know, the grand jurors or whatever.
Yeah. Well, Mike, thank you for the phone call. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening. Let me ask you a question. Ryan, I'm going to talk to you now and then we can have this discussion.
Oh, okay.
This is how this works. Today. Just today.
Okay.
Is your gut feeling about the IG report plus the Durham investigation that's a criminal investigation, is your gut feeling, you brought up the last time something, I don't remember what it was that happened, you said, is this the thread that comes straight out of the sweater or is this the thread that comes out of the sweater and unravels the whole thing?
Yeah.
Is your gut feeling that this is going to result in something that reshapes our government?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's this or not, but I do think that in the next 5 years, assuming we have another five of Trump.
We have 11 total.
Of Trump?
No. According to AOC, just like in total.
11 until we die.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Until the planet's over.
It's a much smaller problem than we're really considering
credit to.
Yeah. Yeah, we should probably talk about that instead. Because, who cares about what they did illegally? We're all going to die. I think there's going to be something that does it. Something's going to unravel this thing. I just don't know what it will be. Here's the thing about this criminal investigation. If it comes out at the end of November, that to me says there's not going to be much to it. The longer it takes, the more it's going to build, and then there will be something to it. Because what they're doing right now is all behind closed doors. If you look at...
It's as if it's not even happening.
The most recent news stories that have any substance to them are at least 2 weeks old. And that's deliberate. They're not, that's good. They're not leaking, but they're intentionally not doing this in the public. And that's good because you're talking about the former head of the CIA being involved. Mm-hmm. It's the Justice Department investigating the Justice Department. That's pretty tricky. You're talking about two different administrations, but it's still a weird thing to be doing, maybe unprecedented in the history of the country. So if this is going to take down the kind of people that do unravel the whole sweater, and we're talking about kingdoms tumbling here, then it's not going to happen this month. And the longer it takes, probably the more intrigue should be building.
I pay a lot of attention to all of this stuff, obviously. I feel like this one's bigger.
Yeah.
And when the Mueller investigation was taking place, I had what I would say are honest questions about what was unfolding. We would talk to Hans von Spakovsky about them regularly. And it's very hard to cut through all the rhetoric that's on both sides of the aisle. I don't really want to tune in on a daily basis to people who I know are 100% on my side and are going to tell me the things that I want to hear to feel good that night. Because I'm hyper-analytical, and I'm extremely skeptical. So even if you tell me what's the best-case scenario, I'm already formulating worst-case scenario in my head to begin with,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what you do or don't tell me. I can turn on CNN, and I get worst-case scenario there, at least for Trump or Trump supporters, and I think the same thing. I'm like, this is all prepackaged, laundered material that you're trying to persuade me with. I don't want to be persuaded. I would rather sit and not know than feel like more comforted because I have information that is shaded a certain way to make me feel better or feel more anxious about it.
There's more and more things that happen that make me agree with you that this is something significant more than others. And I don't know how they're all tied together yet. That's the thing, is it's like, well, is this just one or not? Is this one tied to the others? But Amy Robach, the stuff we were talking about earlier this week,
with ABC and her having the Epstein story and hold the and ABC squashed for 3 years.
She said one word in there that made you go, oh, really? The Clintons?
Mm-hmm.
That's all she said. Mm-hmm. We don't know how Epstein, I mean, we know that they were involved somehow. No, we haven't been able to prove anything yet. She apparently had proof.
Think about too, the way she said it. She said it in the context of everything else she was saying, it wasn't emphasized. Mm-mm. She just was making a list of people.
Yeah.
To think for a second if it would have been Obama, not Clinton, or Bush, not Clinton, or Carter, or Reagan. It's Clinton. It's just like, yeah, you know. Like, that's just assumed.
Right.
Connected with the Epstein saga that when she starts rattling off these names, like, think about if she would have said in that clip, the Bushes, this would be the only story anybody was covering, because they would have thought that this was a way that they were going to get to the Republican Party.
If it was the Bushes, it probably would have come out 3 years ago.
Yeah. Fantastic point. Exactly. Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. We are streaming live on Facebook right now, and you can join in the conversation there. Brad wants to know if anyone's got a good solution for a sore throat. I said whiskey. I think that just generally makes you feel better. Yeah. I don't know if whiskey is...
fixes a lot of problems.
Yeah,
not just sore
absolutely.
Throat.
Fuzzy. At least for a while. And right. I also want you to follow me on Twitter at Annie Fry Show. Did you see the video of the kid doing the worm behind Jim Acosta?
Yes.
Did you see my tweet?
Well, you tweeted it to me, so I saw it.
I said I named this kid at Radio
him.
Wiggins.
I dubbed thee
Ryan Wiggins.
Because
while you're trying to do something very well put together and produced, there's Ryan Wiggins doing the worm in the background. Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Go follow us there. We'll be back in just a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.